boyfriend, Rick Tabish, kneels on the carpet behind Binion's head, facing Sandy. Standing up, Rick is tall, dark, and to Sandy's mind, handsome. 6'2", 230, with springy hair, beady brown eyes. Plenty strong. A star linebacker in high school and college back in Montana. He is now 33, getting soft through the middle, hairline receding above his temples, developing confidence issues. For non-early bloomers, 33 can become the age of miracles. The time to start a family, launch a new venture, make partner, publish your first novel, even found your own worldwide religion. For the last couple of years, though, Rick's been afraid that his best days are a decade behind him, and he desperately needs to make sure that he proves himself wrong. Because what the fuck else is he doing here? People around Las Vegas know him as Ted Binion's friend. They met manning side-by-side urinals at Piero's, and since then they've partied at Delmonico's, the Voodoo Lounge, and plenty of strip clubs together, both with and without Sandy Murphy. When Ted needed a place to stash 6 tons of silver bullion, he hired Rick's company, MRT Transport, to dig and construct a secret underground vault on Ted's ranch in Pahrump. They used an MRT truck to haul the bars of silver from the Horseshoe's vault out to the new one, along with a few million bucks worth of rare coins, paper currency, and $5,000 horseshoe chips. Rick and Ted, in fact, are the only two people who know how to get at that vault. The ranch is now managed by Rick's latest partner, Boyd Mattson, and its front gate is guarded by peacocks. The peacocks were Teddy's idea. The story gets better and better, then worse. Much, much worse. Less than 10 minutes ago, for example, Rick and Sandy tried to have sex alongside, even for a regrettable moment or two, on top of Ted's handcuffed torso. If junkie Ted couldn't fuck her, then Rick would take charge, and Ted would have to watch them, then die. That was their logic. Or, more accurately, their syllogism, if either of them knew what that word meant. Ted knew. When he wasn't out, or back home, raising hell, he read books and magazines as though his life depended on it. Civil War, Western history, biographies of Sherman and Grant, Carl Sandburg's biography of Lincoln. He loved local and national politics, public television, the History and Discovery channels. He even loved reading the dictionary. So exactly how had a smart guy like him gotten himself in this fix? 90 minutes earlier, Rick and Sandy forced him to choke down nearly half a liter of tar heroin after lacing it with 107 50-milligram Xanax tablets. They'd handcuffed him at gunpoint and told him to lie on the floor, on his back. After cursing them out, even snickering at their gall, he complied. Still wearing shorts and a navel-bearing t-shirt, Sandy straddled Ted's chest and yanked up his shirt, something she'd done countless times. Only now, instead of tweaking his nipples, she was pinching his nostrils together, leaving him no choice but to open his mouth. Careful not to scratch the esophagus, Rick used a turkey baster to squirt the gunky beige concoction past Ted's teeth, down his throat. The stuff reminded Sandy of melting brown pearls, like some stupid mini-sculpture you'd find in New York or L.A. In the meantime, gagging and desperate, Ted was offering her $5 million to get off him, and she could tell from the sound of his voice that he meant it. He'd pay her. They could kill Rick right now in self-defense, then get married, have a baby, a girl baby maybe, named Tiffany, and never even have to talk about this crazy Rick bullshit again. All she had to do was take the 9mm pistol they both knew was hidden in the bench of her white baby grand piano and blow Rick away. Ted and some cops had taught her to shoot at that range, and later she'd practiced on bottles and cacti in the desert. Ted was begging her, calling her baby. That hurt. Sandy's outward response was to smirk, glance at Rick, shake her head. Even so, she was tempted. As Ted kept on pleading, her jangly nerves made her cackle and pick up a cardboard Halloween goblin. The goblin, with R.I.P. stenciled across the front in white lightning letters, was left over from last year's trick-or-treat decorations, and she thought it might add a nice touch. That's why she'd tossed it onto the sofa last night in the first place. "You're already dead," she said now, jouncing the goblin in front of both men. Even Rick, who had beaten and tortured people before to get money, was taken aback by the ghoulish dementia of this weird cardboard totentons. Yikes.